What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hey guys, it's Mark.
And I'm Charity.
And welcome to the Case Watch podcast.
Case Watch deals with content meant for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Case Watch.
Confirming the body found in Grand Teton National Park is Gabby Petito, and she was killed.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder.
Late today, Chris Watts was officially charged with the murders of his wife and his two young girls.
Remember these words. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
And we're back.
Hey, guys.
And I gotta be honest, I did not do any advanced reading on this. Like I said, I wouldn't. So I'm super curious if the Roger with a D is actually because he's a douchebag.
And guys, I tried as mightily as I could. Yes, sir. Please slap me in the face with your meat.
We're starting right off the top.
Thank you for that, Mark.
You're welcome.
This is going to be a three-parter. There was just so much information that I could not fit. This would have been a two-hour
Hold on. You can't fit it in. Hold on. Wait.
That's what she said.
Y'all.
Yeah. So that would have been a really long episode. So we're going to stretch it out. We're hoping to be able to record next week. Stretch it out. Yeah. We're hoping to be able to record next week. We might not be able to because Mark is extremely busy.
Next week is my busiest week of the entire summer.
I apologize because the really meaty stuff to this case is going to be in the third part, but you might have to wait an extra week. But we'll let you know ahead of time if that's the case.
I would say I feel bad, except for the fact that I will be hanging out with Kyle Busch, so therefore I do not feel
bad. Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man.
I've been watching Core TV. Has anyone else been watching Core TV?
I have not.
Please be watching Core TV. Very, 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 very high profile case here in Massachusetts.
It's getting quite interesting.
They all talk like me. So makes me feel a little better about myself, guys. But you know.
That's good.
Whatevs.
I can't wait for us to be able to talk about this case.
It needs to be over, though. I want it to be over because I don't want to talk. It's just too close to home. I just don't want to talk about
the last podcast that talked about it. They brought him up on charges,
but they're still talking about it.
Yeah, kind of. Careful what he says.
Yeah, so I want to some of the creeps have sent us some things that I just want to touch upon. This is from Reader Ann Mishkin and it's from E! News, and I'm gonna go ahead and read it. Convicted Rust armorer Hannah Gutierrez Reed says she wants Alec Baldwin, quote, in jail, end quote, per prosecutors. Convicted Rust armorer Hannah Gutierrez Reed has been called as a witness for Alec Baldwin's upcoming trial, while prosecutors say she expressed her desire for him to be jailed. I mean, I would too, right?
Right.
I heard he's doing a reality TV show.
Yes, I did see that as well.
Is it going to follow the whole That's, of course, he's trying to bank in and make money off of this.
Right? Of course he would.
Hannah Gutierrez-Reed is being called to the stand. Alec Baldwin's legal team has requested the Rust armorer, who was sentenced in April to 18 months in prison for involuntary manslaughter, as a witness in the 30 Rock alum's upcoming trial regarding the 2021 death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins, per legal documents obtained by E! News. However, prior to submitting the request, Special Prosecutor Carrie T. Morrissey filed court documents obtained by People, which cited recorded prison phone calls in which Gutierrez-Reed, among other statements, said she'd like to see Baldwin jailed. The April documents were filed in response to Gutierrez-Reed's request for a conditional discharge, which would give her probation instead of jail time, and summarize the calls the 26-year-old allegedly had with family members, according to People. The outlet noted the calls were cited as part of Morrissey's attempt to prove Gutierrez-Reed showed a total failure to accept responsibility. Among the alleged conversation details is Morrissey's claim that the armorer called her a bitch. Oh, boy. That she refused to refer to jury members as a-holes, that Gutierrez-Reed is, quote, mad that the whole thing got pinned on her, unquote, and that she wants them to put Alec Baldwin in jail.
I think he deserves to be in jail more than she does.
Yeah.
I don't like the fact that she's in jail.
If she is, I don't know if I agree more, but I do agree that if she is, he should be. And the main guy who was the one who came forward and pled guilty and got off is the guy who should be in jail as well, but whatever.
Correct.
When asked for comment, Gutierrez-Reed's attorney, Jason Bowles, told E! News, it's really unfair to characterize or cherry-pick comments someone made or may not have made while they were upset and very recently incarcerated, but many aspects of this prosecution have displayed no concern for fairness in favor of a win-at-all-cost attitude. Wow.
Yeah, guys, right?
This is getting interesting. I do agree, though, right? Like, it's to me, it's a really good thing that they have, that they are recorded phone calls when you're in jail. But when you're really upset, you are going to say things you don't mean, right? You're going to be mad at the jury. You're going to be mad. Not that I'm standing up for her, but I can understand making comments like, oh, she seems like a bitch, or she, you know, I can understand that. And then he's right. Just to take just those conversations out, when maybe she had many other conversations where she was sad and was
dear
saying,
every single person in the world.
Yes.
I want you guys to all do it with me that I do. Ready? Remember, we close our eyes.
Close our eyes. Mark's closing his eyes.
Let's get into our Zen zone.
Yep.
You could be the most laid back person in the world and one person cuts you off once. You're like, say the worst stuff in the world.
Yeah, you lose your crap, guys.
You mess up my order at a McDonald's drive-thru. Like, I say some pretty inappropriate things that I feel bad for immediately after they left my mouth. But boy, it sure does feel good when you say it.
I love that Mark's stories always contain food. It's like related to food.
Isn't everybody's that way?
I mean, I don't know if everybody's is. I'm not sure about that, but, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just making a comment here.
I'm just going to let that hang there. I think it's everybody's. All I can say is I have, and we just had this discussion out in the living room, not before you were here. I have the best Facebook algorithm of all time because mine shows me exactly what I like. Fast cars and
food,
other stuff.
Oh,
it's the best algorithm in the world.
Is it quote unquote other?
Other.
Other. I like when things just say other.
Other.
Because that could be anything.
I have something to read as well.
Do you? Is it from a one Mr. Tim?
He sure is. Courtesy of WLWT5 at a Butler County, Ohio. John Carter, the man accused of killing 20-year-old Caitlin Markham, pleaded guilty to involuntary manslaughter Friday morning. After nearly 13 years of denying he had anything to do with the fiance's death, he admitted his guilt. It brings absolute, undeniable finality to the question of who is responsible and accountable for the disappearance and death of Caitlin Markham, said Butler County Prosecutor Mike Gomer. The plea deal came about 2 weeks before he was scheduled to go on trial for Markham's murder. Markham's family had a front row seat in court, specifically on the date specified in the indictment. He did cause the death of Caitlin Markham by the commission of a misdemeanor in the city of Fairfield, Butler County, Ohio, said defense attorney Lawrence Hawkins. Prosecutors said Markham died during an assault at her Fairfield home in August 2011. Exactly how she did is still not known. Carter was the one who reported her missing. Nearly 2 years later, her remains were found about 36 miles from her home in a remote wooded area in Cedar Grove, Indiana. For years, there was no movement on the Fairfield case. The Butler County Sheriff's Office took it over in 2015 at the request of Caitlin Markham's father, Dave Markham. The investigation eliminated 20 people of interest through either polygraphs or alibis that were persons of interest in this case. And that is a quote from Sergeant Rob Whitlock from the Butler County Sheriff's Office. There was never a doubt to either one of us who was responsible for her disappearance and death. Detective Joe Negolario of the Butler County, I did not say that right, just in case anybody wanted to know.
Haha.
Sheriff's Office, for us who knew it was John, never a doubt. The Butler County Prosecutor's Office began investigating the case in 2020, and in 2023, Carter was indicted for murder. After the plea deal on Friday, Dave Markham was overcome with emotion. He and other loved ones wore butterflies over their hearts to court in memory of his daughter, who has been described as a colorful, free-spirited art student. She was just days away from turning 22 when she died.
Ugh.
Her father suffered in this case, and the result was for her justice, for Caitlin, and for her father, for the answer of finality, Gomer said. It was necessary to say that justice for Caitlin has been done.
Aww.
When asked after the court hearing how Markham was killed, neither Hawkins nor Carter provided any comment. A sentencing has been set for July 18th at 2:30 p.m. And in the eyes of this podcaster over here, this is an absolute joke. Hold on.
Douchebag.
Carter faces anywhere from probation up to 3 years in prison.
How?
I don't know.
After withholding the information that he was the killer all those years?
Is unbelievable.
You know what it is? You know what it is?
What's that?
I bet that it has to do with the fact that so many years had gone by. There was no, the body was well, unfortunately, unless they took good samples back then, I don't know. And so much time had gone by and he came forward himself to say, right? Because it said he turned himself in.
Yeah.
So they're giving him like accolades for that.
They should give him accolades of a.
Wow.
Well, I think that will be taken care of in jail.
Oh my gosh, that is so sad.
They're going to be like, where are you from?
Illinois. S is silent.
Yeah, douchebag.
S is silent.
I still love that.
It is a really good. Guys, please call in because you guys can get on the board just like me and all these other creeps.
Let's
and
see.
Maybe you can take up my space on the board.
A douche. Bye.
Deuce canoe.
Frickin' douchebag.
You, sir, are a douchebag.
Douchebag. You're a douchebag. Oh, my God. What a douchebag.
Douchebag. That was a filet of douche.
So we need to talk really quick about.
Well, real quick.
Oh, sorry.
Update.
Oh.
Look, I have self-addressed envelopes.
For the douche trees.
For the douche trees.
Yay.
And Steve, the awesome mailman, will be my witness that these will be in my box tomorrow.
I want to do it. I want to do it.
That's what she said.
Had to.
Yeah.
We need to talk really quick before we get into this second part. There was some controversy on the case, the Crime Creep page, about a pair of thongs that were found in the group.
Yeah, they were bright yellow. Bright yellow.
Everyone wanted to know who they belonged to.
Not me.
I automatically just went to Walter Kopp. I mean, who else would you immediately go to?
I mean, if I had to choose whose they were, I'll keep that to myself.
Well, Christopher kind of came through, Christopher with a K, and said that, you know, he kind of took responsibility for it, which I think Christopher just being like the nice guy that he is did that to save maybe some embarrassment from other people in the group. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mark commented, and I do agree with this, that the color of the particular teehongs were too light for him to wear, if you catch our drift, guys.
Yeah, I'm a manly there was man.
An incident where the thong part lay.
Where the thong part lieth.
where the thong part lieth. So Walter said they weren't his. Walter said he prefers polka dotted, but I don't know.
Yeah, but Walter, he who smelt it, dealt it, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know, Walter. I don't know why most of the creeps thought it was you. I don't think you should be taking that in a bad way.
The first thing I would do if somebody found something that I was trying to hide from them, like, why are you doing that? That's yours. That's 100% yours.
Whoever smelt it, dealt it, like you said.
Peace.
I love it. Testicles. 1, 2, 3. All right. That one is, I do enjoy that one.
That
though,
is a good one.
Because I say that, you know, all the time. I mean, why would you do testing 1, 2, 3 when you could say testicle 1, 2, 3?
I know. It's so much better.
I mean, maybe someone more mature would think it's stupid, but.
We don't like those people.
Yeah. We like to be a little immature, guys. Anywho.
Okay. That's like the most annoying thing ever. That carries over from a quick off the air conversation. Those are the best ones.
I know. I can't. Let's get into this second part. I'm going to give a little synopsis of what's going on up to this point.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
In the first part of the story, we met a troubled kid named Elliot Roger. Elliot had quite a bit of social and mental issues. He was socially alone and didn't even attempt to make or want friends. At times, it seemed as though his parents did try. Oh, please hold.
All right. Sorry, guys. I'm the radio professional here, and I didn't mute my phone.
He did not.
That's it.
He interrupted
Look at that. Muted, and it's going in the box. It's away from me.
Okay. Pay attention, Mark. Pay attention. So I'll have to read the sentence again.
I missed this already.
Oh, God.
I'm addicted to my phone.
I know. So at times, it seemed as though his parents did.
Real quick.
Oh.
That means if I don't answer your call or text you back right away, I'm ignoring you. Because my phone is with me 24/7.
Oh, good. I'll keep that in mind then, Mark.
Well, sometimes I'm in the middle of stuff because I do have an actual professional job.
So his parents seemed to try to help sometimes, but other times it seemed as if he was just an annoyance that they didn't want to deal with. He came from wealth, as both his parents made great money. That is until they got divorced and his father got remarried. That just made things worse for Elliot. His behaviors got so bad that he was kicked out of his father's house. His father had also lost all his wealth on a documentary he funded himself that flopped, forcing him to not be able to pay child support anymore. No longer being wealthy bothered Elliot greatly. All he wanted was money. He thought money would fix everything. All the struggles in his life would just be gone, socially, mentally, and it would also like really help him get girls. So at this time, I just want to mention that I don't know if you guys remember in the last episode, remember when we said that one of the World of Warcraft online friend sent him a picture of a naked woman.
Yep.
Well, that the first naked picture he ever saw of a woman, she was a blonde woman, because that's going to come into play.
Can
that's
I just
important.
Go on record here and say people of this last 30 years don't realize how easy you have it?
Oh, I bet.
Because when I was younger, in every guy who is above the age of 45, like myself, will say, they'll get what I'm saying. Like, you had woods porn, you had alley porn, like you would just find miscellaneous dirty magazine places and then you would hide them places so you could go back and look at them.
Did
later.
You want to touch the pages of the ones that you found though? Ew. I mean,
peruse them.
Ew. I hope you washed your hands after.
You were like 12. You didn't know any better. You're like, whoa, look at those.
Oh, well, I you know what? Now it's very easy.
Charity's like, I'm in for woods porn. Let's go find some.
I can't. So Elliot was still obsessed with his World of Warcraft community until he decided he wanted to graduate high school and be on his way to making the money. He stopped playing and put his nose to the books, getting straight A's, graduating in 2010. Let's carry on and see what is it up next for Elliot. I would like to tell you that he turns his entire life around and gets the true help he needs to function in life. But all I'm going to say is...
We wouldn't be doing a podcast if he did.
This is Case Watch. So keep that in mind as we move forward. Elliot had graduated high school with his entire life ahead of him, but unfortunately, when he was 18 years old, he stopped seeing all mental health specialists. He also refused to take any meds that were prescribed to him that may have helped his mental conditions. That's not good because he was 18, technically an adult. There was nothing his parents could do about it. So this is like a constant theme throughout this, and I don't know if you remember from the first episode. And again, I'm not placing blame on anybody because I'm sure there was a lot going on when he was little, when his parents first got divorced. But when he when they first started noticing he was socially awkward and you know, the anxiety and stuff, I just so wish they had gotten little Elliot help, because I just feel like in those formative years like that, and you know what, guys, the same outcome could have happened. I'm not saying it couldn't have, but it's just a thought. Elliot blamed his parents for not having enough money. He was upset with his mother for not finding a rich dude to marry, because, you know, that would fix everything. And he resented his father for throwing all the money he had at a documentary called Oh My God. He believed if he hadn't done that, he would still be rich. He did try going to college, but that was short-lived. It enraged him to see all the happy couples walking around campus. He just couldn't witness it. Elliot's mother tried pushing him to get a job, but it didn't seem to work. Instead, he would fill his days with reading at various Barnes and Nobles. Or, this one's really sad, guys, he would walk around his mother's neighborhood hoping he would meet some friends. He would also go to various cafes in the hopes that a girl would see him and start talking to him. So he would just sit in the cafes by himself, probably trying to look as handsome as he could, and just think that a girl should approach him. That's like a sad existence.
It really is.
It is.
I'll say it just like this. People build themselves up into a bubble where they get so much in their head that they're worried.
Yes.
Anybody who knows me as a person knows I don't give an F. But I used to.
Yeah.
When I was in my 20s, like, I wasn't taking my shirt off. Okay. I wasn't going into the pool in front of people.
So think about that times 2,000.
Yeah.
That's what this kid's going through.
Now, the second I walk through my door, my pants are off.
Yes, Mark, we know.
Like, it's the best time of my life.
I think we should at some point do, like, Mark and Charity trivia.
That would be fun.
Like, what does Mark do as soon as he gets home from work? And there's, like, three questions, A, B, or C. The creeps
drop my pants. I grab a water.
And he sits in his chair.
And I hit my vape.
And sits in his chair.
Yeah. Not like the nicotine vape. Those things are bad for you.
Anyways, it just sounds like he was so lonely and lost. His parents clearly talked to each other and knew they needed to do something to get him a job. They must have believed a job would not only occupy his time, give him his own money, but would also provide opportunities to meet some friends and become a little social. But most jobs his parents pushed him towards, he wouldn't even entertain, saying he was much too good for them. So he still had this feeling of
superiority
because of being rich. He just believed that he was still rich at heart, or should be treated as rich, I think. Elliot's dad contacted one of his friends, and he did do work for him, for the friend. He did work for the friend doing some construction for just a little bit of time. Maybe that job suggestion was different because it was someone he knew. I don't know. Whereas maybe his father was like, don't embarrass me. Like, I'm pulling strings to get this job for you. Who knows, right? His little half-brother was getting older, and Elliot, although he did enjoy spending time with him, he was actually jealous of watching how social he was becoming, maybe wishing he could have been social like him at that age. So his half-brother was very normal, had lots of friends, you know what I mean? And to him, it's like he loved him because he was his little brother, but he looked at him thinking, I wish that had been me, which again is so sad. This is all so sad. Elliot enrolled in a different college. This college was Moorpark College. He liked the campus because it was so small. He was actually pretty excited about his second start at school. He could imagine himself meeting a blonde girl that he could walk around campus and show off.
Don't just pigeonhole yourself to a blonde girl. There's plenty of other out there. You got brunettes, you got redheads.
But he wanted to see another blonde girl naked, apparently. The excitement changed quickly when he realized he wasn't making any friends. Never mind girlfriends. There was a couple in one of his classes, and they had what he longed for. This just reminded him how lonely and depressed he had been before. Testicles. One, two,
three. That's what he was longing for.
And that
he was hoping she would say,
"Yes, sir. Please slap me in the face with your meat." Both sayings that a blonde girl said.
Oh, my God. I never put two and two together.
One of them was augmented, as I say every time you push that button. But whatever. I'm not dwelling on that. So he probably just couldn't get out of his head that he didn't have a girlfriend and he didn't really have any friends or a social life at all. Elliot quickly cut down all his classes to just one. It was a political science class. He was dealing with the very same anxieties he had in high school. He stopped going to Moorpark College after a year. At least he lasted a full year.
Right.
You know? I forgot to mention, so he did have that one longtime friend for 14 years, okay? They don't say who the friend was, or I couldn't find who the friend was.
I also wouldn't want to be told.
Yeah. I'm sure if I dig deep enough, I could have, but... And I don't know how much they actually communicated, but that longtime friend was also a virgin like Elliot. The difference was that his friend was not hateful towards women. Elliot just couldn't understand how his friend wasn't mad. He made it known exactly how he felt about women and his anger and anxiety to his friend. Eventually telling him, guys, it's going to start getting creepy. I just want to give an FYI. Eventually telling him he was going to take over the world, killing whomever he wanted. He would also tell his friend how he would torture people until they died, all to just be the leader of the world. To have all the power and domination.
Seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, I don't want to put that much work in.
I didn't even want to be the leader of my neighborhood.
No! Imagine how these conversations made his friend feel, though.
I see my neighbors coming, and I immediately try to walk faster.
Right? Or like you're in the grocery store, and you see someone you know, and you skidoo over to the next area.
It's the best part about living in a state that you don't know anybody from.
So, guys, his friend started to separate himself from Elliot because he was freaked out about, you know, the torture, the killings, and the world dominance. That, I mean, me too. I'd be like, whoa. Okay, it's one thing that you want to get laid. I get that. We can talk about that till we're blue in the face, right? I'm a virgin. You're a virgin.
Let's be left alone.
Let's talk about how maybe we could be each other's wingmen or something, right?
Right.
But you're telling me that you're going to be killing people and taking over the world, and I would not sign up for that either. So this left Elliot truly alone, besides his family, of course. His one and only friend of 14 years jumped ship. Elliot's parents were still trying to help their son, which is nice. But again, I wish they had gotten him the help he needed when he was little. They sent him to Santa Barbara to try to get him to go to another college, hoping he would get some independence and finally meet some friends. They wanted him to thrive and have no distractions. So they foot the bill for not only his college classes, but also paid for an apartment for him to live in. So this apartment was in an apartment complex that housed only college students. So, you know, like those college areas where you live off campus, either in an apartment complex or like one of those old duplexes type of things like that. This is what it sounds like to me.
Okay.
His parents assumed he would have no choice but to be social, right? You're living in, not only are you having roommates, everybody in that complex is.
It's almost forced on you at
that
point.
Which is, I think, yeah, what they wanted. Elliot was on board with heading to Santa Barbara, thinking he would have plenty of opportunities to go to parties and, you know, hand in his V card.
What, Velveeta?
No, his V card.
Violin?
I mean, it could be whatever you want.
Okay.
But in this case,
confused.
It's virginity. Virginity, starting with a V.
Virginia?
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, June 4th, 2011.
She hates me sometimes.
No, I don't.
It's so fun.
Was the day Elliot set out on his new venture, moving into the Capri Apartments in Isla Vista, California. And added an R to that, guys. And enrolled in Santa Barbara City College. He, of course, had roommates. After all, it was a college apartment. One of his roommates had some friends over at one point. One of the friends was black, and he was bragging about losing his virginity at the age of 13. This caused such anger and sadness for Elliot that he quickly went to his bedroom crying, and he called his mother. At least it seems like he did reach out to his mother when he had emotions, sometimes maybe. He told his mother that it wasn't fair that black men had so much attention from blonde women, while he had no attention from blonde women. It's no surprise that Elliot did not enjoy his roommate's company.
I don't get that. I have lots of attention from blonde women, too. Like, it has nothing to do with the other stuff.
That's just his, yeah.
One plus one doesn't equal seven. Or does it?
Yeah, I don't know what you're saying. So anyways, some of the roommates he didn't like at all, and the others he would really butt heads with. Instead of trying to get along with them or find other guys to hang with, because, I mean, there was other guys in other apartments. I mean, it's a whole complex, guys. He would just hide in his room in isolation. Elliot got two new roommates of Spanish descent. Instead of being happy that he got new roommates, he immediately began using racial slurs towards them whenever he addressed them. That's a great way to get your ass kicked, if you ask me.
I love it.
And why would he do that when he himself was of mixed descent?
And by I love it, I mean, I just love the fact that people just so are willing to jump to that to make fun of people.
But why? I don't understand.
It doesn't make sense.
So the two new roommates moved out. And I wonder why no one made Elliot move out, though. It sounds to me like he was the problem, obviously.
Right.
Another new roommate came in, and he had a girlfriend that came over quite a bit. Elliot was so angry and jealous. He told them that he, quote, was foolish for having a girlfriend that was an ugly whore.
You don't say that.
No, especially when you just meet the guy. What are you talking? That's the guy's girlfriend. The roommate sent a letter to the apartment's management asking to be moved to another apartment, saying the main reason was because it was clear Elliot had huge psychological issues. He also wrote that Elliot was a ticking time bomb waiting to explode. It sounds like he hit the nail on the head with that one, huh?
I don't know. I don't know what happened yet.
If somebody's saying those things to you and you're watching their behavior and it's erratic and, you know, for all these roommates to just move out.
Yeah, from something's
one,
up.
To get away from one person. He even said he was afraid that Elliot would hurt him and his girlfriend. Sounds like he's starting to show signs of becoming actually dangerous. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Elliot withdrew from a class after his first day at school because there was a blonde woman and her boyfriend in the same class. He couldn't stand the sight of them together. It was what he wanted more than anything. He started to hate all the people in the Isla Vista area. He hated seeing other men with pretty blonde women, women that should have been with him. He believed he was better than all the other men. This just filled the fire of anger inside of him. He thought that it was the woman's bad for not accepting his advances. And he had extra hate for men with more money than him. So still about the money, still about the blonde women, still about seeing the blonde women with the men. I don't even know. It's been said that around that time, Elliot began frequently daydreaming about stabbing couples to death while they're having the sex. The sex, Mark.
The sex.
Thinking about it brought him great joy. In July of 2011, Elliot got a nice buck star. Do you know what a buck star is?
I don't.
It's a Starbucks. I just switched it around.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
When he was leaving the coffee establishment with his coffee, he saw a couple outside kissing. This threw him into extreme rage, and he threw his coffee at them. The man started yelling at him. I mean, I would have done the same, wouldn't you? Someone throws coffee at you for no reason. Elliot was afraid the man would hurt him, so he ran off. Also that July, he was at a food court and witnessed another happy couple kissing. He followed them, got in his car, drove by, and threw his iced tea at them. What's with the throwing of bevs? Of the beverage?
The bevs.
Why is he doing that?
I don't know.
Elliot decided he needed to dress better. So, you know, all the blonde women would be more attracted to him. Because I guess blonde women only like men that are dressed a certain way. I wasn't aware of that. Maybe people can tell me some clarity on that. I wasn't aware that blonde women liked men to dress only in fancy clothes. That's just me, though. It's been said he spent lots of money on high-end clothes. He enjoyed sitting outside of a Domino's waiting for a beautiful blonde girl to approach him.
I spent a lot of money on clothes, too. Like, I have a bunch of wrestling shirts.
Yeah.
They cost a lot of money.
And the Walmart shirts we love.
Those things are great.
Yeah.
Although they're like $9 now. They're
I
not,
know. I was bummed out.
Remember when they were $3.88? It was so great.
I know. So when he was sitting outside the Domino's waiting for a beautiful blonde girl to approach him, he would be sitting there in his really fancy clothes. And he thought to himself he looked so attractive that a girl just had to come over and talk to him. But I don't think it ever happened.
I always feel that way. It never happens.
Remember, he had done the same thing earlier when he'd go sit in the cafes and just hope a pretty blonde girl would come approach him. So if it didn't work then, maybe you need to start being the one to approach. I don't know. He did make one friend, but it seemed as though he only became friends with a new friend to be introduced to that friend's friends. Did you understand that?
I kind of did.
In essence, it sounds like he was using the kid for his own good. In January, so here's my thing before I move forward. I think maybe it was this kid he saw. Maybe he had a lot of friends and hung around with girls mm-hmm. and whatnot and was like, I have nothing in common with this guy. I'm going to try to fakely approach him to try to be his friend just so I can meet girls.
Yeah, that's different.
In January of 2012, while driving home, while driving by a bus station, Elliot saw two pretty blondes. Oh, he must have been so excited. He smiled at them to try to get their attention, but they did not reciprocate. They didn't even look his way. What do you think he did that time when he got mad?
I'm kind of getting worried.
You guessed it. He threw his bev at them.
Oh, jeez.
This time it was a latte. Well, at least it's different beverages every time.
I'm going to throw my soy caramel macchiato at you out my window, just so you know.
With two espresso shots. By February of 2012, Elliot was so upset with having almost no interactions with anybody, especially pretty blonde women, he couldn't bear going to college anymore. So he stopped going altogether. Here we go again. Elliot started to come up with a plan of attack.
Okay.
Women in couples, probably mostly blonde women, because he was so angry. He was still a virgin and he couldn't stand seeing all the happy couples around him. He named the event that he was planning. Are you ready?
I can't wait to hear this.
The Day of Retribution.
That's kind of a letdown. I was expecting more from this guy. What a douche.
Elliot built the plans in his head over and over, deciding just how he would follow through. But first, he had some events to go to. March 11th, 2012, he was able to board a plane and sit in first class, of course, and was able to take a limo to go see a Katy Perry concert.
I will say, guys, first class is everything it is cracked up to be.
I've never sat in first class, so I wouldn't know.
I have, and it's amazing.
He was able to do this because his family was giving free tickets. So apparently they gave it to him, thinking it would be a good outing for him. I don't know.
They're like, let's get this guy away from us.
Well, he was, though. He was living in the apartment still.
Far away.
So the very next day, on the 12th of March, Elliot went on the red carpet premiere of The Hunger Games with his father and stepmother.
Oh, mother. That is a good movie.
Yep, if you remember from earlier, his father did work on one of the Hunger Games movies. I guess he regained some of his money at that point, right? Because if he was got another job doing The Hunger Games.
Yep.
So Elliot met Jack Ross. Jack was 16 years old and he was the son of Gary Ross, who was the film's director. seeing all the rich people made Elliot believe that he could only get a nice, pretty girlfriend if he was rich. So here we are, back to being rich, right? He just knew he couldn't hit the that he could hit the Mega Millions. So in June, he started buying tons of tickets because he was going to win, guys.
Mr. Elliot, I'm going to tell you the advice to getting women. I may not be, I'm a fairly decent looking guy, but that doesn't matter. If you can make a woman laugh, if you can make them smile, you're already better off than
absolutely
most people.
Humor because is humor is number one.
Personality,
yes,
is
I agree,
where it's at.
100%.
And if you've ever, and I know a lot of people who listen have ever hung out around a campfire with me, we have a lot of fun.
Oh yes. So he was going to win big and become rich. And everything was going to be amazing. His life was going to be amazing because he was going to hit big. That didn't happen on June 12, 2012. He didn't win any money, and it just really pissed him off. And he was determined to follow through with his plan because if he had, maybe if he had won the money, he'd be like, I don't need to do my plan anymore because I'm rich now, and I'm going to get all the pretty blonde women.
It's Powerball's fault.
Yes.
Yep.
He was able to save almost $6,000 so he could get all the things he needed for his plan. Hmm. One day in July, Elliot was walking in a park and saw college kids hanging out and playing ball. He became extremely angry when he saw that there were some pretty blonde women talking to some of the other guys. Like, why were they talking to them? He walked by. They should have seen how amazingly handsome and well-dressed he was.
Yeah, but he wasn't rich, so they weren't interested.
But if he was wearing the rich clothes, they would have known.
No.
Instead of throwing a beverage on them, he decided that he would go get a super soaker. But he didn't put water in it. Oh, no. He filled it with orange juice. Like, what? He went back to the park after purchasing.
That really stings if it gets in your eyes.
Yep. Purchasing the super soaker and sprayed it on everyone, you know, just to ruin their day.
I'd be mad.
Yep. Elliot's dad gave him the book, The Secret. Have you, any of you read that? Have you read it?
Does it have more pictures than words? Because if not, then no.
It's actually really, really good, guys. It's all about like positivity and how, and it talks about like the law of attraction where you want something bad enough, you put it into the universe and you can attain it.
Oh, speaking of books and reading.
Yes.
Do you see what is on my head?
Glasses.
New spectacles.
Oh, yes.
I have now joined the world of progressive lenses.
Wonderful. Do you love it?
I do not.
Yeah, it takes a while. They say it takes a while to get used to those.
The first day I had them on, I was sick.
Yep.
For about 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Felt like I was going to throw up. And now I just randomly walk into stuff. It's pretty sweet.
Awesome.
It's a good time.
I wish Kristen would video that.
I wish
Alan,
not.
I'm going to have a little talk with her at when I leave, before I leave. It's been said that Elliot took what the book said very seriously. He stayed in his room for the entire month of August, and he meditated. He would dream of himself with a gorgeous blonde woman. It'd be the same picture every time he envisioned it. Ah. He was putting it out into the universe like this, Mark. He's putting it out into the universe so that it would happen.
Yeah.
He also, after all that meditation, kept playing the lottery. And by September of 2012, he was really upset and super depressed because he did not win the $120 million jackpot.
That is pretty bad. You know how many times I've planned out my lottery winnings?
Yeah, it's upsetting.
It is upsetting.
It's very upsetting. He was so mad that he didn't win that he broke his laptop, like literally threw it and broke it in half.
I've done that, but not for that reason.
Well, how was he going to look at pretty blonde women if he didn't have a laptop?
Phone.
Whatever. The next day he went, well, no, because back, well, 2012, whatever.
You can do that back in 2012.
You can, you're right.
Let's just leave it at that.
Mark knows these things. The next day he went out and bought a new laptop. While he was waiting for his laptop to be ready for pickup, he decided to go to a shooting range and learn how to shoot a gun, right? Because that's really important for him to know.
Of course, now I'm getting worried.
He knew that if he was going to carry out his, quote, day of retribution, he would absolutely need to know how to shoot a gun. While thinking about his day of retribution, Elliot was torn. He didn't know if he wanted to take out all of the people in Santa Barbara City College or if he wanted to take out everyone who lived in Isla Vista, California. He must have thought taking out the college was just much too small. So he went with the entire area of Isla Vista. Sorry. Isla Vista. Sorry, guys. He first decided that he would carry out this attack on Halloween of 2013. But then said, you know what? This is not a good idea because there'll be like way more police around because it's a holiday and all. But isn't that what they did with one of the purge or the first purge? They did on Halloween, so nobody knew who anyone was. They all had masks on, remember?
That is a cool movie.
It's a creepy movie. To have one day of the year that you can just take out anyone you want and not get in trouble for it. Ugh.
Like, it's completely inappropriate.
Of course.
I 100% knew who my person would be if that did happen.
You have to tell me off air.
Oh, there's like, I need a lot of days.
Really?
No, I'm just joking.
In November.
Am I?
Oh, dear God. In November of 2012, Elliot knew he still had to win the Megabucks. So he drove all the way to Arizona so he could buy tickets for the Powerball jackpot. It was $500 million. Sadly, I know you guys are going to be really shocked because he plays so much, but he didn't win any money, guys.
No way. It's rigged. It's rigged. Yeah.
Since he believed he was always going to be a virgin, he decided that his plan really did need to go into action. But don't worry, guys. He's probably going to change his mind or is going to come into money or is going to get a beautiful blonde girlfriend, and that's not going to happen. There's no need for anyone to be alarmed.
Okay. I'm not alarmed
Everything's
anymore.
Going to be just fine. But we won't be able to find out until That's Right, Guys, part three.
Yeah.
Like I said, I really didn't want to do a part three, but I just – all this in these little things and information of – how his life progresses in the aggressive negative manner that it has, I feel like is so important for us to know.
Yep.
Just why events that are going to happen did happen.
And it's really bad, and I do feel bad. I'm going to try every way possible to get back here to record.
Yes.
The problem is over the course of the next 2 weeks, I have 11 races in 3 states.
Yes.
That I have to broadcast. So.
And you know what stinks is like, this is what makes me feel really sad is this person, Elliot, is a sad, lonely, troubled person.
Yeah.
And he's gone under the radar. Yes, his parents over the years got him some help. You know, in high school, they sent him that special high school where he did have therapy. But it was almost like it was too little too late. And he is just searching for happiness, really, when you think about it. And is horrible. This just shows, again, how horrible mental health is.
It's absolutely horrible.
It
really is.
If people don't get the help that they need and they don't talk and it's all of the cliche things, hibernating in his room, having these horrible, dangerous thoughts in his head that he's not sharing with anybody, you know, having the obsessive thoughts on becoming rich, having the obsessive thoughts on getting, you know, losing his virginity to a blonde girl. These are things that were tormenting him on the daily. And he had nobody he could actually be open and honest with and say, hey, I am literally going to explode soon and do something really bad. It was all in his own head. And I can't even imagine how that horrible of a feeling that is.
One of the things, like, I think we all can kind of understand is when you get in your head,
yep,
you can really, really, really be destructive to yourself.
I've done it to myself. I've made myself in different times of my life, guys. I personally struggle with anxiety, and I always have. And people are shocked when they hear that because I do come across as so outgoing and so talkative, and to the point where it did, and I will talk about it at some point on air, it did affect my life so badly that I pretty much confined myself to my home and didn't go anywhere.
Okay.
Because I was having obsessive thoughts about stupid things, not hurting anyone or myself, but like, oh my God, if I go here, this is going to happen. If I go there, this is going to happen. That was just anxiety. So I can't even imagine, you know, and I worked through it with therapy and, you know, medication, and I can't imagine. And that was just anxiety. I can't imagine all of these things going on because not having anybody around him really to like, yes, his parents were trying to help, but he really needed like an intervention at this point. That and the fact that the complex, all of those roommates that left on their own accord and made it known it was because of this one person.
Didn't set an alarm off to
anybody?
Here it
goes again. It's like a whole trickle of things all together, right?
This is one of those things where I don't know what this person did because I seriously don't.
I mean, you can speculate what's coming.
But I have a feeling what's coming. But at the same token, like, if this guy got treated and got help at the right time in his
life, who knows?
Maybe it would be a 100% different outcome.
The sad thing is, Mark, we won't ever know. We won't ever know. And like, again, I don't want to post blame on his family. Nope. I don't know what was going on in their lives at that time. Like, actually, you know, we're reading the story. We're hearing what, you know, what is being told to us, the information we can find. But this is just really sad and all around. And I know what happens, but I don't know. Mental health, to me, it's the biggest problem we have in this society.
Oh, 100%.
Yep. We need to help those with mental health. We help people who are physically sick. We need to help people more that are mentally sick and stop making it such a stigma, because you can live a happy life.
You really can.
You know, but, you know, that's just my little soapbox. Oh, that was Charity soapbox.
There
I did
we
a
go.
Soapbox. I feel so good about myself.
I know, you're like, I wish you would. Charity's next soapbox would be like, I wish Mark would shut his mouth.
No. No way. The people love you, your little commentary, Mark.
I don't know about that, but you know what they do love?
What?
Leaving us 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
If you haven't done the love sharing by leaving us a 5-star review.
It's very love. We really feel the love.
Let's see. What are we going to use for a word today?
You pick the word. Because I've picked some before and people left it and it was hysterical.
I'm going to cross two previous ones.
Okay.
Dingle douche.
Dingle douche. I love that. Yeah, you don't even have to write anything if you don't want to. Just put dingle douche 5 stars.
5-star dingle douche it is. We'll see you on the next one.
Bye, guys.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.